The Trump FIFA story is almost perfectly calibrated to generate maximum controversy across every political and sports audience simultaneously. During a White House reception celebrating the ongoing World Cup, the tournament is being co-hosted by the US, Canada, and Mexico. President Trump boasted about personally pressuring FIFA over the red card issued to Falaron Balogun, a US striker. Balogun plays for Monaco but is eligible for the US national team, and the red card in question reportedly came in a match with significant consequences for the U.S. tournament run.
FIFA's rules explicitly prohibit government interference in soccer governance. It's the reason countries have been suspended from international competition before, for allowing politicians to control national federations. Trump publicly boasting about pressure applied to FIFA over a specific match decision is exactly the kind of political interference FIFA's statutes exist to prevent. Whether FIFA takes any formal action is a different question. The organization has shown considerable flexibility when dealing with powerful host nations, but the statement itself is diplomatically significant.
The college sports bill, with an alleged 60 Senate votes, is actually a substantive policy story that deserves more attention than it gets outside sports media. The legislation would establish a federal framework for college athlete compensation, potentially superseding the patchwork of state NIL laws and the NCAA's own rules that have been evolving rapidly since the Supreme Court's 2021 Alston decision. Getting 60 votes means it can clear a Senate filibuster, which is the critical threshold. The remaining obstacle is winning over the Southeastern Conference and Big Ten athletic conferences, which have concerns about how revenue sharing would work under a federal framework.
The Marvel Wolverine trailer getting overshadowed by Sony disc format controversy is a genuinely interesting cultural moment. Marvel dropped what should have been a major media event, the first look at the new Wolverine film, and the conversation was immediately hijacked by fan anger over Sony's decisions around physical media formats. Whether to release films on physical disc, which formats to support, and whether streaming-first strategies are eliminating consumer ownership of content have become surprisingly hot-button issues in entertainment fandom. The intensity of the reaction suggests that physical media ownership feels to many consumers like a rights issue, not just a format preference.
The Baldur's Gate 3 casting story, an actor exiting a role in the game Tides of Annihilation for health reasons, is a reminder that the voice acting and performance capture work underlying major games involves real human beings with real health vulnerabilities. The game industry has been grappling with performer health and working conditions more directly in recent years, and a high-profile departure like this brings those conversations back to the surface.
Now, I want to use the second half of this segment for something we do periodically, examining the most confident claim we've been making this week and asking seriously whether we might be wrong. The claim I want to stress test is this. The consensus view right now is that the AI chip market will continue to grow at rates that justify current semiconductor valuations, and that Jensen Huang's prediction about semiconductors becoming the world's largest industry is essentially correct. That's a view that's embedded in market pricing, in analyst forecasts, and in the capital expenditure plans of every major cloud provider.
So let's interrogate it. What would need to be true for that prediction to be wrong? The bear case has several components. First, AI model efficiency has been improving faster than many expected. The amount of compute needed to achieve a given capability threshold has been dropping as training algorithms improve. If that trend continues, the demand growth for raw compute could be substantially lower than the build-out currently underway suggests. You'd end up with significant excess capacity, which historically destroys margins in capital-intensive industries.
Second, there's the question of whether the current wave of AI investment is actually generating returns. Enterprise AI adoption has been slower than the initial hype suggested, not because the technology doesn't work, but because integrating AI into existing business processes requires organizational change that takes years, not months. If enterprise ROI on AI infrastructure spending disappoints, the capital expenditure cycle that's driving chip demand could stall. We saw something similar in the early 2000s, fiber optic build-out. Real technology, genuine long-term demand, but the short-term overbuild created a decade-long hangover.
Third, geopolitical risk. The Trump administration's moves to gate access to frontier AI models and the ongoing semiconductor export controls targeting China could fragment the global market in ways that reduce total addressable demand for U.S. chip companies. If China accelerates domestic chip development, and Huawei's recent chip announcements suggest they're making real progress, the assumption of U.S. dominance in the most advanced semiconductor nodes may be more fragile than the market currently prices in.
So what's the signal to watch? If we're wrong about the semiconductor supercycle thesis, you'll see a few things. Cloud providers will start reporting lower than projected utilization rates on their AI infrastructure investments, leading to reduced CapEx guidance. You'll see AI chip order lead times, currently very long, shorten as demand softens. And you'll see more AI startups pivoting to efficiency-first architectures rather than raw scale. None of those things have clearly happened yet. But the Nasdaq's rough week suggests some investors are beginning to price in the possibility.
The honest answer is that the semiconductor bull case and the efficiency-driven bear case aren't mutually exclusive over different timeframes. Huang is probably right about the very long run. Whether the current valuation levels will look reasonable in 3 years depends on variables, model efficiency progress, enterprise adoption pace, geopolitical friction, that are genuinely difficult to forecast with confidence. Investors treating the outcome as certain in either direction are taking more risk than the evidence supports.